Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, Luke chapters 4 and 5 that we've kind of been in these last few weeks have the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. Today we reach kind of the culmination of these things. What everything in those two chapters was sort of leading to right there at that time. Culmination is Peter falling down on Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed Jesus. Peter recognizes that he was a sinful man, that he had no right to be in the presence of the Lord and Master Jesus. But Jesus said to him, "That's not the issue. I'll take care of that. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." Now, I think it's important for us to know what leads up to this culmination, what gets us there. Luke chapter 14, earlier in it, tells us how Jesus began his ministry after the temptation narrative. There we are told that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went throughout all the surrounding country, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Jesus then traveled to his hometown, Nazareth, where he was rejected. Having been rejected there, Jesus travels from Nazareth to Capernaum. And this town, Capernaum, will now become his new hometown, his center base for the rest of his earthly ministry. There in Capernaum, as we talked about last Sunday, as he taught in a synagogue, a demon-possessed man confronted Jesus. And then we went on to hear how when church let out, Jesus, well, the narrative introduces us to Simon Peter as Jesus goes to his home and heals his mother-in-law. And then that evening when the Sabbath was completely over, many came to the house. Many were healed of diseases and illnesses. Many demons were driven out. But Jesus doesn't stay there, for at the end he says, "I must teach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." Jesus then travels around. But as we get into Luke chapter 5 today, Jesus is back in Capernaum again. He is there, right on the Sea of Galilee, or the Sea of Gennesaret, which is right on the shore to this town. We don't know really how much time has passed, but there's a large crowd pushing in on Jesus, and you can just imagine they're looking for healing and help and all these kind of things, but Jesus really wants to teach, because that's his really primary purpose at this time. And so to get a little separation from the crowd, we are told that getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and then Jesus sat down and taught people from the boat. Now, I think it's important for us to note that the first and foremost activity of Jesus prior to the crucifixion was that of teaching. As we noted last week, his word has power. His word has authority. His word is, in fact, the means through which his kingdom comes. Miracles primarily illustrate two truths. One is the compassion that he has for the people, the great love that he has for all. And secondly, they illustrate his power, the authority of his word. But we know that illustrations primarily are there to support the teaching. same narrative, when the teaching, when Jesus finishes his teaching, he in fact turns away from the crowds because he's got a different focus today. His focus is upon Simon Peter. And as the narrative explains a little bit later, with Simon, James, and John as well. These three are partners in a fishing business right there in town. And what does Jesus say to them? He says, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for catch." Now there's three problems with what Jesus has to say here. First of all, they've been fishing all night long and came back with zip, nada, nothing, not a bite. Secondly, it's the wrong time of the day to be fishing. They fished at night because that was a time to fish. And now they're in the middle of the day, wrong time. And third, he tells them to put out into the deep, the least likely place that they would be finding fish to catch. Not only that, but the deep, particularly when you think about the Mediterranean in ancient times and in Scripture, the deep is a place of chaos. It's a place of evil, place of death. The deep is Satan's domain. And I think this is a key point there, because Jesus is calling them to a task that has high risk and very low expectation regarding reward. But remember, Jesus' primary activity is teaching. Why? Because his word is what has authority. What do those miracles do? Well, they primarily illustrate his teaching, show his compassion for people and the power of his word. So in today's story, what happens? Well, Simon answers, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." At Christ's word, he responds to that authority, you see. They go out into the scary deep, the place where they're least expected to have success. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boats, to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. This then leads to the culmination of these chapters, where Peter falls down at Jesus' knees and says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. So also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed Jesus. A separating action is taking place here. These three are receiving a very special calling, a calling different from one the crowds were receiving. Many in the crowds, we know, had that selfish orientation. They were saying, heal me, and nothing more. And Jesus is separating them from that. His word of authority calls Simon and the others to a whole new life, a whole new experience. From now on, they would be catching live men and women. Now, there's no more definition given than that at this time. But this word had enough authority for them to leave everything and follow Jesus. Now, I don't think for a minute that those fish that they caught were wasted. I think that they were actually another sign of our Lord's compassion in that miracle. Zebedee and the others who were left behind got to process and sell all of that fish, met all of the family needs of the families that these three were leaving, because these three were called to kingdom needs. And my, how their lives would be changed for the better. So the question, I guess, is, were only three lives changed on that day or more? Well, I think many more. Yes, those three were blessed as they were called to be apostles, but the crowds also heard the very word of teaching that Jesus was proclaiming, and they were blessed because that word has authority. Although the impression always is that some walked away and didn't really receive the fullness of that blessing. And besides all of this, Simon and Zebedee's families made a huge profit that day. They were able to live off those proceeds, along with also receiving the blessing of that word of authority. In other words, everyone who was gathered there was blessed in different ways, in their different callings. Ephesians 4 talks about our different callings. Paul writes, "I, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. For there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope, which belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. In those gifts he gave some to be apostles, others prophets. He gave the evangelists, shepherds and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ." In a very similar way, our readings these weeks from 1 Corinthians emphasize that we all have a variety of callings from Christ. But we are all called to serve the same Lord. And all these come through our exposure to our Lord, through his word of authority. In fact, allow me to suggest that this story has three groups who are gathered around Jesus, and maybe even a fourth. One is certainly the three who receive that special calling to be apostles. But there's also those who are in the crowd who heard the word and hungered for more, who could see God's kingdom opening up in front of them. And then the third group would be those who heard with little interest and never really received the fullness of what Christ was offering at that time. The central connecting point for all of these groups is Jesus. Jesus and his teaching with authority. Jesus then supporting his teaching with his illustrations that show how he cares for all you and me and all his great compassion and love, and also illustrations that illustrate his very power. The conclusion of all of this is that the primary calling of Jesus is for us to hear his word. From there, us hearing his word, he will use his power, his authority, to give us all our unique callings. And all of it is always saturated with his love, with his compassion, with his wanting and providing what is best for each and every person. So maybe there's only two groups gathered around Jesus. Those who are drawn ever closer to him and his word of love, and those who distance themselves and that time don't really receive all that's being offered. Two groups back then, two groups today. Those who are drawn closer and those who distance themselves from Jesus. Where do you find yourself this day? You know, I think some might have thought we have two groups, those who are in the building and those who are farther away, but that's not at all, is it? It is those who are gathered around the Word and looking for more, and those who push the Word away. To what is Jesus calling you and me? His primary work today in our midst is to teach us. Because in His Word, as He comes to us, we get to know Him better. We more know of His great compassion for you and for me and for all, His incredible love for the world. We see His power unleashed in the world. We see Him opening doors. And as we are drawn in through those doors, His Word of authority opens up the entire kingdom of God to those who are drawn near. All offered freely to you and to me, to all, through Jesus, this day and always. In His name, amen. And may the peace and the power of Christ Jesus draw you into His gracious presence this day and forever. Amen.